God, we thank you for your presence that's been here this morning. Lord, we thank you, God. We experience your peace. We experience your joy. We experience, Lord, freedom. Lord, many of our burdens have been lifted. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that as we have sought to worship you, Lord, you have responded to our worship. You have responded to us as your children. You have spoken to us. You have touched us. And Father, we don't take this for granted, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We look at the scriptures and realize that the Old Testament saints didn't even have the privilege as we have to come into the holies of holies. But Lord, we thank you for this new dispensation that because of the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, we all have access, and Lord, you respond to us. And Lord, we ask you to continue to minister unto us through your word. Continue to minister unto us as your word comes forth, Lord. Father, I pray that faith will be found in our hearts. Lord, I pray that your spirit would continue to bring freedom and release. Father, I pray that we will be edified and encouraged. Lord, I pray that our faith would lift us to a new place and our eyes, O God, would be opened. Lord, I pray that above all, that Jesus Christ would be seen and he would be glorified. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, and amen. So we started this series, Reigning in Life. Reigning in Life, coming out of Romans 5, where the Apostle Paul said that through Christ we have gotten all abundant blessings and righteousness so that we might reign in life. That's Romans 5, verse 17. Last time I shared that if we're going to reign in life, we need to be able to overcome temptation. That's one of the things that is common to all of us as humans. Paul said that in Corinthians. So the enemy will come against us with temptations, and if we're not able to be victorious over it, then we're not going to be able to reign in life as the Lord would want us to. Today I want to share about the power of the tongue, the power of the physical element here called the tongue. Turn with me, if you will, to James chapter 1. The book of James, chapter 1, picking up at verse 19. James chapter 1 and verse 19. James says, "My dear brothers, take note of this." In other words, James is saying, listen up. This is important. This is a key. When he says take note, that's what he's saying to his readers. Listen up. Don't allow this to miss you. Take note of this. Ladies should be quick to listen. You don't see it there? Children should be quick to listen. Men, you should be quick to listen. James says, everyone, so I can't be pointing the finger at anybody else, I need to point at myself. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. One of the things I've noticed in the last several months is that people don't understand the scripture, don't know the scripture. So I find very few people are quick to listen. In fact, our society is filled of people who are quick to become angry. But very few people are quick to listen. And that's part of the problem we have in our society. So whether it be that you're saying, one group is saying this, you should wear a mask, or one is saying no, don't wear a mask, or one is saying that there's racism over here, and one is saying there's no racism. But the major problem is that people are not listening to each other. You know, I know you have never done this, but I've been in what I call them discussions, because if I say arguments, people will misunderstand. Discussions with people, and all I'm doing is waiting for you to just take a breath. I'm not even waiting for you to finish. Just take a breath so I can give you my next point. but I'm really not listening to anything you're saying. And so as a consequence, we speak past each other, and we don't end up with any sort of agreement, don't end up with any sort of change. Instead, we end up becoming angry with each other quickly because we've not been listening. How many know that one of the crucial things that in marriage is communication and listening? And that most marriages break down because people stop listening to each other. They argue, but they're not listening to each other. And so here James has given us a key. He says, listen up. This is key. You need to get this. Be quick to listen. Listening is more than just hearing words. It means having an attitude that says, I want to understand what you're saying. That's what listening is. I want to understand what you're saying before I even respond. And so James says we need to be quick to listen and to be slow to speak. And to be slow to get angry. The writer of Proverbs in Proverbs 18 verse 13 says, the person who answers before listening, that is to his folly. In other words, he's not smart. I'm trying to tone it down a little bit. He's saying not smart. Are you really saying they're a fool? But I'm just saying they're not smart. To answer without listening, he's saying, the writer of Proverbs says, that is his folly and that is his shame. So for us then as believers, we should be the ones more than anybody else who, understanding what the scriptures say, be quick to listen before you give an answer. I don't know, again, I don't think this has ever happened to any of you, but it has happened to me so many times. You jump into a discussion and you don't even know what's going on and you're saying stuff. And then all of a sudden you realize, oops, I said the wrong thing because I don't even know what went ahead of me and what people have said before. And here I am opening up my big mouth without first listening. And then you feel sort of, well, I do feel sort of small. It's another way of saying you feel foolish. Because you have answered something and you don't even know what the people are talking about. They might be talking about the weather and you jump in with your big mouth and start talking about what's happening in Afghanistan. And they're like, what are you talking about? So we have to learn to listen before we give an answer. And the people in psychology, therapists understand this. So they talk about attentive listening. And so they rephrase things to you to make sure they understand what you're saying before they respond. Proverbs 12 verse 18 says, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So the tongue can be very dangerous. It can wound people very deeply. You know, when I was a child growing up, they had this saying that sticks and stones might break my bones, but your words cannot harm me. But most of us realize now that that is not true. That your words sometimes can harm us even more than sticks and stones. You know, I reached a place in my life as a child growing up. I preferred my parents to just give me a good whipping than to give me a good talking to good, you know, it's like, you know, some of these things sink deep. And so the tongue can be dangerous, and so the writer of Proverbs is saying, reckless words can be like a sword. You cut people deep. So that's why we have to be careful how we speak and when we speak and what we say. And when we're talking about listening and speaking, I put here in my notes, it includes what we call non-verbal communication. You know, some people have struggled. I mean, Bethany, for example, might not be able to articulate what she wants to say, but her mother will tell you that she speaks a lot. Non-verbal communication. When I was a child, again, you know, if my parents was talking to me, I had to be careful how I responded, even non-verbally. You know, I couldn't be rolling my eyes and all those type of stuff. But I didn't say anything. You roll your eyes. If I was to roll my eyes and my mother was trying to correct me, you know what would happen next? There would be people looking down in a little box and saying, oh, you had such a great future. So when the writer talks about listening, he's including non-verbal way of functioning. You know, can you imagine? Can you ever imagine my mother talking to me and I walk away giving her the palm? Oh my goodness. Hand left? Only the hand would be left. And people will be searching all over the country for my body. But I didn't say a word. They said much more by your actions. And so we need to appreciate this, that communication involves non-verbal aspect of it. So when it talks about being and listening, it's talking about including our body language. And like Proverbs, there's some great sayings for us. Proverbs 10:19 says, when words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. The man or woman, a child who holds his or her tongue is wise. In fact, there was another proverb that said, something along those lines. Proverbs 17 verse 28 says, even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. And the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about the fool. But here it's saying a very positive thing about the fool. It says, even a fool appears to be wise by keeping silent. So again, we need to be quick to listen and slow to speak. And a lot of issues would not arise if we just practice this one simple little verse. Proverbs 21 verse 23 says, he who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity. In other words, you prevent yourself from getting into all sorts of trouble, all sorts of issues because you just kept silent. So there's some wisdom then in you and me learning to listen and to be slow to speak and to ask for clarification when you don't understand. And I'd rather to be thought to be wise than to open my mouth. Why are you laughing, Miss Rose? I'm not going to finish that. You can finish it for yourself. But there's a saying, you know, rather than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. So there's wisdom in listening. Then this tongue. It's such a small element that James had to write about it. James chapter 3, starting at verse 1. He says, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. You poor pastors. We're going to get stricter judgment because, you know, you know better, and therefore the Lord expects more from us. Then he says in verse 2, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. So James is saying then that we all stumble, but one area that all of us stumble as humans is through our lips, the things that we say. And James is saying if we could just be able to control what we say, we'd end up reaching the place of maturity. Perfectly, I think, perhaps mean more maturity. People don't always have to hear our point of view. You realize that? They don't always have to hear. Keep it to yourself. I've done this so many times. I've opened my mouth before I should have. And as soon as the words come out of my mouth, I wish I could have just taken them back. And I'm like, oh no, I'm in trouble now. Made a situation worse. Especially when you're angry, it's a time to keep quiet. Because we say things in anger that can hurt somebody else, and no amount of apology afterwards can actually remedy the situation. So James is encouraging us to strive to be able to control our tongue. Talking about the negative part of the tongue right now. James chapter 3 verse 3 says, we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us. We can turn the whole animal through that. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, he's saying the tongue. It's a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire. So we are familiar in this country of forest fires. We see them a lot in California and other places. And many of these fires are started by somebody trying to keep warm somewhere. Sometimes they've been started by somebody smoking a cigarette and not putting it out. Simple little thing like that, and you have a wildfire. And James is saying the tongue is like that. He says it actually is a fire that, if not controlled, can cause an entire family to be divided because of something simple that you said, that you shouldn't have said. That the tongue is a fire. So wherever it comes into a situation when there is the right conditions, it can cause a blaze to take place. So if we can get that picture, if I can get that picture in my mind, then I will be slower to speak, to realize, oh my goodness, I have the potential of creating all sorts of havoc amongst people. So if I'm going to reign in this life, I need to first learn to rein in my tongue. And he says, just like how a rudder can direct a ship, really our tongue can direct our lives. If you read the scriptures, you'll see the positive side of it, where people like David, before he killed Goliath, he declared what he was about to do and followed through. Most of us, the things we're going to do in life, we actually speak about them before we actually do them. Good and bad. So it's key then for me to be careful what I say, and also to listen to what other people are saying. We miss a lot of times because we didn't listen. Many a suicide could have been prevented if we were listening to what the person said. I hate my life. I don't think I deserve to live. And if we had listened enough, we'd have been able to put in some sort of intervention. But we weren't listening. And so what the person said became the direction of their life, and then they end up taking it. I put here my notes that the tongue can inspire or provoke people to do evil. One of the scriptures I learned as a child from the King James Version in Proverbs 15. The King James Version says a soft answer turns away wrath. NIV says a gentle answer turns away wrath. But harsh words stir up anger. So in certain situations, if we can speak in a gentle way, we can actually diffuse the circumstance. Or if we speak in the wrong way, we can actually make it worse. That's the power of the tongue, to actually diffuse a circumstance or make the situation worse. So the writer of Proverbs says, a gentle answer can turn away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fools gush folly. Verse 4 says, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Proverbs 15:25 says, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. So you see the power of the tongue. We can create havoc, or we can bring about a positive change. Somebody is weighed down, and we speak the right thing, and it cheers them up. We can speak the right thing and bring healing, or we can speak the wrong thing and bring, like a sword, bring hurt and division. Going back to James. So this, verse 6, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. In other words, the devil is waiting to use our tongue to create problems. Let's put it that way. The devil knows the power of the tongue, the good and the bad. And so he waits and lurks and plants thoughts in your mind and in my mind of things to say that will bring destruction. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. So James is saying, as humans, we have been able to accomplish a lot. Tame animals, they have all the circuses and all sort of stuff. But so far, they haven't really given us a secret to controlling and taming the tongue. If you have found a formula, patent it, and then tell us about it, and you'll be rich. My experience is that only with God's help can we actually bring the tongue under control. Only as you and I learn to listen to the Lord, to listen to what's happening, and say, Lord, what do you want me to say? Only as we learn to yield ourselves to Him can we bring this tongue under control, on a consistent basis, that is. So it goes on to say, with the tongue, that's verse 9, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Also, the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. And so James is saying that it's inconsistent for us to have blessing and cursing coming out of the same mouth. It shouldn't be, he says. It's a contradiction to say we're worshiping God and the next moment be cursing people. Yes, I know they did this and they did that, but James is saying that still is inconsistent. They are made in the very image of God. But here I am, it's Christmas and they took my parking spaces, so it's okay. Here you are, they're pushing for the line. You don't have to curse them. In fact, Jesus said to bless those who curse you. So we have to train ourselves to know how to respond when things that seem unfair happen to us. So that's looking at the negative use of the tongue. At first, if we are going to reign in life, we need to be able to reign in our tongue and not allow the enemy to use our tongue to create problems in the lives of others and in our own life, as a matter of fact. But as we would yield ourselves to the Lord can help us to control our tongue. So there are some positive impact then of our tongues, as we need to be able to be able to know how to use our tongue so we can experience the victory that God has for us. Isaiah the prophet, in his encounter with the Lord, realized that in Isaiah 6, he says that the Lord said to him that he said, I live amongst a people of unclean lips. He was speaking the same way the people of his time spoke, the people around him, the unsaved. And Isaiah realized that my lips are unclean. Here I am in the presence of this holy God. And the Lord sent one of the cherubims to purify Isaiah's lips with that coal from the fire. And so what comes to me, friends and church, is that in the church, we should really be speaking differently from the people of the world. If my speech is the same as an unsaved man, something is not right. And when you read Isaiah talks about the people calling good bad or evil, and evil good, which is what's happening in our society today. If people are calling things that the word of God says wrong, they're saying it's right. And so you and I need to realize that my speech needs to be informed by the word of God and not by my society. And if what I say is different from what the world says, and what I say is in line with God's word, then that's all right. God has not called me to speak and echo what the world says. He has called me to speak and echo his word. And so there comes a point where you and I need to consistently ask God to purge our lips. Purify my lips, O God, so that I might speak only your words. So that I might speak only things that bring glory and honor to your name. That's a great place to say amen. The writer of Proverbs says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. That's Proverbs 18, verse 21. The tongue has the power of life and death. Those who love it will eat its fruit. So the tongue then has the potential then to produce life. Not just death as a negative part of it, but life, if we would harness it and use it in the way God wants us to harness it and use it, because God himself is a speaking God and he speaks before he does things, and the same thing applies to you and me. He wants us to proclaim what he says, and we will see a difference in life and in circumstances. So Jesus says in John 6:63 that the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. They produce life to the person who receives them. But it should be the same for me, that Joe Campbell, the words you speak, those who hear them, if they would receive them, should receive life and not death. That's how we get saved. It says, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. We need to learn to speak words of faith. Jesus said, if you would say to the mountain, be thou removed, and believe in your heart, then it shall be done. If there's no doubt in your heart, it shall be done. So we are called to speak words of faith, not words of doubt. Words of doubt will bring death. Words of faith will bring life. But there comes a point where you and I need to know what God's word is so we can declare it and proclaim it. This morning as we sang some songs that were in line with God's word, and we were actually proclaiming things that are in line with God's word. When I say, I know my breakthrough is coming, I'm declaring God's word. He has promised to bring breakthrough into our life and into our circumstances. And if we want to get the breakthrough, we have to start to learn to proclaim it. So he says, you shall receive whatever you say if you say it with faith. God watches over his word to perform it. Sean had shared this morning from 2 Chronicles 19 and 20. Where praise affected the atmosphere. Declaring who God is changes the atmosphere. And by the way, the negative is also so. You can start to declare so much negative thing, it changes the atmosphere. But I would rather, or that my lips would comfort things that change the atmosphere positively. That would cause people to start to look towards the God that I serve. That would allow the Spirit of God to respond to the things I'm declaring and bring about a change. That's part of how we're going to reign in this life. If you're going to reign in this life, we have to learn to open our mouths and declare God's word. It's not enough just to think it, you have to proclaim it. Somebody said, you're crazy if you don't talk to yourself. And I'll add to that and say, you're crazy if you don't declare God's word. There's no way you're going to get a lot of success in a Christian walk if you don't learn to proclaim what the word of God says. And you're not going to have victory if you don't learn to rebuke the devil. There comes a point where you got to actually speak and say, devil, get thee behind me. Devil, get out of my circumstances. So God has given us this storm because we needed to walk in victory. If you look at how Jesus ministered, you find out that a lot of times he just spoke the word and things changed. He sent to you and said to him, I don't need for you to come under my roof. Just speak the word, because I see your man under authority, and I know my servant shall be healed. And so you and I, we are left here as the arms and legs, as the body of Christ. We have to learn to speak God's word until we see the circumstance change. Don't speak what the devil is saying. Speak what God has already said. Don't tell me how dark the things are. Tell me what the light is breaking through. So praise, my friends, will change the atmosphere every time. So we have to learn to be a people of praise, a people who will worship God, a people who will declare the goodness of God, a people who are not ashamed to say what God has done. The writer of Proverbs say many times here that the tongue, Proverbs 15:4, can bring healing. So when we speak, will it be words that will bring healing to the hearers? Let it be that as I declare God's word, situations are changed. People have hope. We have enough negative voices in our society. I was going to say negative Nancy's, but that's not fair to Nancy. But we have enough negative voices. We need to have the voice of the people of God declaring the truth of God's word, that Revival is on the way. God is about to bring about a change in the lives of people. It's not hopeless because we believe in a God of hope. This nation is not going to hell in a handbasket because there's a God who raised this nation up who will bring about a move of his spirit in this nation. And so you and I, you'll find as you start to declare the promises of God, your own faith is built up. It shouldn't be that when I leave people, they leave more depressed than before I came. No, they should leave more encouraged. Having more hope, realize no, that there still is a God in heaven who will turn things around. And friends, I really am one of those who believe that many times God gives us what we say, what we proclaim, what we believe. 12 spies went to spy out the land in Numbers 14. 10 came back and said, Lord, you bring us out here to kill us in the wilderness. 2 said, no. God will bring us into the land. God is just listening on the side. And what happened? The 10 who says we're going to die in the wilderness, God says, you know what? They're going to get exactly what they said. Numbers 14, read it for yourself. They're going to get exactly what they said. And the 2 who said, you're going to bring us into the land, those are the 2 who went into the land. What's the difference? They all went and saw the same things, same circumstances, same big tall guys there. They all saw that. But the 2 who went into the land saw that God was still able to give them the victory, friends. So here we are in our society. We all see the same things in our society. I don't have to echo what the majority want to say. I want to echo what God is saying, what God is able to do, what God's promises are to us as his people. Because I believe as I proclaim God's promises that I will walk into them, and if not me, then my children or my children's children, because I'm true to God's word. But if you want to walk in what the world is declaring, then go ahead and declare it. Because God is a fear God. He'll give you exactly what you say. If that's what you want, therefore that's why you're saying it, go ahead, you can have your recession. Go ahead, you can have your hard times. But I believe in a God who takes care of his people in the middle of whatever circumstances they find themselves. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. We sing here that even when I don't see it, I know he's working. Even when I don't feel it, I know he's working. Because he works behind the scenes. So faith, my friends, will come out of our mouths as we declare it, and it will make a way. It will produce victory, it will produce healing, it will produce hope. It will produce freedom and victory. The enemy will back up when he realizes that you're proclaiming the truth of God's word. Paul says that we should know how to answer people. And our speech should be of such that it is like, he says, seasons as it were with salt. That's in Colossians. In other words, the way we speak to people should be full of grace, so that people leave encouraged, don't leave feeling condemned and judged. But it's full of grace. Our speech should be of such, it's full of hope. That Peter says we should be ready to give an answer to any man who asks us a reason for our hope. Why are you so hopeful, Joe Campbell? Because I believe in a God of hope. I believe in a God who does miracles. But how are they going to know if I have hope? By the things I say, by the way I function. And so I need to again say, Lord, just purify my lips, purify my mouth, so that I would declare out of my mouth the good things about God. That people might know that God is still alive, he's still doing miracles, he's still keeping his people, he's still providing, he's still healing, he's still delivering people. Are you supposed to be the one coming back, Joyce? I'm going to ask someone to come on back. Let us stand. The psalmist says that the saints have a certain privilege. The privilege to worship God, the privilege to magnify his name. And that as the saints do that, the Lord goes about and brings confusion into the enemy's camp. Psalm 149. In Psalm 150, the enemy is bound up, it binds up the nobles with fetters of iron. As we, the people of God, learn to worship him and to use the privilege we have as the saints of God to make praises known into the atmosphere. And I believe it really is impossible to be a person of praise and hope and not declare good things when you encounter people. To be pessimistic in your speech, I think it's inconsistent. I think when you really have hope, it will come out in the things you say. It will come out in how we interact with people. And we will see differences. We will see miracles. Because God will give us the things that we say. Let's just bow our heads. Let's just put one of your hands, put it close to your lips. I'm going to pray a prayer, asking God to purge our lips again this morning, so that our speech would not be like the world, but our speech would be of such, because until Isaiah got his mouth purged, he wasn't yet ready to be sent by God. But after he got his lips purged, then he could go and declare God's word. Put your hand close to your lips. Father in heaven, Lord, we dedicate our lips afresh to you this morning. Lord, we ask to purify our lips, purify our tongue. Lord, cleanse us, O God, if we have said things that we shouldn't have said. Cleanse us, O God, for the negative speech that has come forth from our mouths. Cleanse us, O God, from speaking just like the world speaks. Lord, we dedicate our lips and our tongues to you, and we ask you, God, by your Spirit, to help us to control our tongue and to speak only the things that you want to have said. Anoint our lips this day, we pray, mighty God, that out of our lips would come forth praise, out of our lips would come forth things that glorify Christ, out of our lips, oh God, would come forth things that bring healing to those who would hear. Father, may the enemy be afraid when we would open our lips, because he knows a rebuke is coming. He knows that his kingdom would gonna experience repercussions because of the things we're about to say. So Lord, we pray that may the words of our mouths, O God, and the meditation of our heart, may they be acceptable in your sight, our God and our Redeemer. And so, Lord, may we be able to learn to reign in this life through the things that we declare and the things that we say. Teach us, O Lord, how to listen. May we hear you first of all, O God. May we hear what the Spirit is saying to us and respond in obedience. But may we also hear each other as we are involved in conversation. And Lord, may we only speak the things that you want to have said. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, give us some new song.
Lord, I come and I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need.
As Joe was talking, I got this vision of, I was thinking about all the people who raised their hands, all the people who needed prayer, all the people who didn't even raise their hands but still needed prayer, you know. And I know that that's kind of like you feel exposed whenever you do that. It's like you're saying, you know, I've got this thing that I'm trying to deal with, but I haven't been able to fix it on my own. But I saw, you know, these people standing around and like, praying for people. And whenever I looked down, you know, they had buckets in their hands. And they were heaping, they were doing like what the Bible says. They were heaping blessings over them. They were heaping their prayers on them. They were doing everything they knew. And then whenever it was like it expanded and you could see the person was down on the ground, you know, and they were wearing a raincoat. And so all these people were trying to do everything they knew to do. But then it was like I could see on this raincoat, it was covered in things like guilt or shame or feelings of unworthiness or depression or whatever it is that it's like these people, you know, they wanted to get out of, but they didn't even realize it, that this thing that they were seeking help for, they couldn't even receive all these prayers that people around them who cared for them were trying to pray for them. And my first thought was like, well, we have to strip that off of them, you know. And God was like, but you can't do that. Only they can. Only they can if they come to me. If they say, God, strip this off of me. And I thought of the scripture. And I know it's not like how we typically see this scripture, but it was what he spoke to my heart, and it was Luke 6:38, and it says, give and it will be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over and poured into your lap. What you give will determine what you get back. And it's like sometimes we got to stand up and we got to strip off that thing that's so hard. We have to, you know, allow ourselves to feel exposed so we can absorb those things that, you know, people are wanting to fight with us. They're wanting to link arms with us and go to battle with us and help us. But man, sometimes you got to give it. You just have to go that extra step to say, God, strip this off of me. I have been trying. I have not been able to do it. So strip it off of me. And when you think about that and it says give and it will be given to you, and you think if you can just stand and let him do that and strip that off, and you think of what he can give back, pressed down, shaken over, overflowing into your lap, it's worth it. And so I just want to give you guys that encouragement. I know that we prayed for people before and everything, but it's just a word of sometimes we have to be able to recognize that. I know it can be scary, and it can cause a lot of fear to think about stripping off those things, but God can do it.
Well, let's take a moment. And as we are here in God's presence, let's just strip those things off before Him. The guilt, the shame, the anxieties, the worry, the fear. Let's just individually see yourself before your Father and take off those things. Paul talked about taking off the old man. Take off those things before Him. And I believe as you would do that, you would sense the Lord giving you the new garments to put on. So strip those things off. It's between you and your Father. Strip them off. Father, we strip off this guilt. Now we strip off, oh God, this anxiety, Lord. We strip off even this pessimistic outlook that we have had, perhaps inherited from our family of origin. Lord, we strip it off. Lord, the unbelief, the doubt. Lord, we strip it off. Lord, the feeling of unworthiness. Lord, we strip it off. The shame. Lord, we strip it off for you this morning, oh God. We thank you, Lord, that we stand before you. Lord, we might feel exposed, but Lord, we were already exposed, Lord, like Adam and Eve. And Lord, we thank you for the new garments. The garments of righteousness that we have in Christ. We thank you, God, that in Christ we are righteous. In fact, Lord, you say we are the righteousness of God in Christ. Now we thank you, God, to give us new garments, garments of hope. Lord, garments of faith, garments of belief. Now we thank you to see us still as your children. You welcome us into your presence. Come and sit on your lap if we need that, or to rest ourselves upon your shoulder. We thank you, Father, that we're always welcome into your presence. Lord, even as that prodigal was welcomed and hugged by his father, Lord, you hug us and you embrace us and you restore us. Let's just sing that song again, Sean.
Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found, it's where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that your desire is always for us to draw closer to you. Lord, your desire is always for us to be in fellowship with you, O God, from the very creation, very beginning of creation. Lord, we thank you for drawing us unto yourself. And help us, O God, to stay in a place of intimacy with you. Help us, O God, to go through our day, O God, being aware of your very presence. Cause our mind and our thoughts, O God, to always be turned towards you. Lord, help us not to allow the things around us to overwhelm us. But instead, O God, may we allow your presence to comfort and strengthen us. And Lord, as we leave here, Lord, we ask you to go with us, Lord. And as we encounter people today and this week, Lord, may they sense the love of God flowing through us. Lord, may they sense the peace of God being upon us. And Lord, help us to hear you before we speak. And Lord, as we speak, to bring life and hope into the lives of others. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,
amen.
And amen.